Who can remember the specific group that our lesson was about last week? Rachel?
That's correct.
Yeah. We talked about the Christian Scientists, and I made the point last week that they should not be confused with Christians who are scientists, of which we have several. Neither should it be confused with a view of evolution or a teaching of that. Neither should it be confused with a group called Scientology. And I told you that I was going to reserve more comment on Scientology, and I'm going to take up that subject today. They do call themselves a church, the Church of Scientology, and I want to just give a couple of words of introduction and something of a disclaimer. Following Walter Martin in his book, he starts his book with a disclaimer about the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech, because evidently the Church of Scientology is very litigious and is jealous about their name and about what people say about them, and are quick to file lawsuits about what is stated from anyone about the Church of Scientology. So I'll begin with a disclaimer, and that is that freedom of religion does teach that an individual is free to believe or disbelieve without coercion, and we're not coercing anyone here. Freedom of speech does give us the right to examine things that are freely posted on their website and to candidly critique each and every detail at each and every religion that is out there. And that's without any prejudice or without any coercion. And when I talk of something as being a false religion, I'm comparing that to the truth of the Scriptures. And so it's legitimate for us to think of ministering to those in cults and to genuinely call them a false religion. This is the first cult that we've come up against that I would classify as a non-Christian cult. Up to this point, we have been looking at different organizations that look a lot like Christians and even want to look a lot like Christians. And in fact, I pointed out that with most of the cults, they prefer it that way. They are deceptive in their language and in their redefining of terms, so that they look and sound like a Christian church. They will describe themselves as Christians. They say salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. They go to church. They have lots of similarities that way. So the ones we've looked at, the Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, and Christian Science, are ones that I would classify as Christian cults, and they even use the Bible. The Church of Scientology is a completely non-Christian cult. It does not try to draw in any of the Christian teachings. It does not accept the Scriptures. It does not accept Jesus Christ. It barely even talks about salvation and sin and issues like that. That being said, what makes it a church and what makes it a cult are these things. And you'll remember that I've been defining cults as those who take the teachings of the Bible and then twist them to make them into something different. The twisting that's taken place in this case is so radical that that just because it calls itself a church and it deals with religious issues, I think it is rightly called by Walter Martin a cult, and we'll deal with it in that way. If you went to a website, or if you went to the library and looked up Scientology, you'd find a couple of related terms. And I'd like to introduce you to some of the ideas of the Church of Scientology so that you'll understand what it's about, and then talk about their views of human nature and what they view as the purpose and goal for life. And then I direct your attention on how to minister to them. The name that is most often associated with Scientology is Tom Cruise. It actually is right now, because he's a follower of the Church of Scientology. It is L. Ron Hubbard, who lived 1911 to 1986 or 88. I need my glasses to read my own writing. He was a science fiction writer and had mild success at that, and then decided... Had mild success at that and decided, and even wrote that the way to really make it big in this world is to start a new religion. And so he did. He decided to start the Church of Scientology, and wrote a book in 1950 called Dianetics, A Modern Science of Mental Health. And at this point, you will begin to hear some similarities with the Christian Science religion and Mary Baker Eddy. There are some strong similarities here, except that Ron Hubbard completely divorced his religion from the Bible and from Jesus Christ. Mr. Hubbard claimed to have studied and traveled in Asia. He claimed to have been crippled and blinded and wounded in World War II. And in that process, to have actually been healed and recovered because of his new revelation and of his new religion. He claimed to have twice been pronounced dead, but then recovered by the power found in what he was teaching.
Is that why you said he died in 1986?
I'm coming to that. It's in 86. I just couldn't read my writing. But I will come back to that. I tell you these things because those are prominently advertised in his books and on the website, just part of his personal vita, part of his personal biography. This is who I am, and these are my credentials. And they are all demonstrably false. And there are places that I can refer you to that will describe his studies in the United States and the times when he has claimed to be traveling, his war record, his medical records, and things like that. He did die in 1986, but the church announced that he had discarded the body to move on to the next level of research outside his body. So they don't use the term die. They use the idea of moving on and finding some liberation or freedom in this new level of research. Dianetics, the system of religion or system of belief that Hubbard put forward, is literally translated the science of thought through thought, and I'll compare it again to last week with the Christian Science, and that this is another one of those think systems that Professor Harold Hill sold in The Music Man. The basic philosophy is that man is good. He has an instinct for survival, but his environmental conditions and painful experiences result in failure. And not only that those painful experiences and painful experiences are written in the memory of the person's experience, so that they are learned conditions that if you can find those learned conditions and erase them, then everything will be fine. Eliminate those painful experiences, eliminate those painful memories, and you will find success. The goal is to, therefore, avoid pain and gain pleasure. If you go to the Christian Science website, you'll find Scientology website, you'll find that Mr. Hubbard claims to have discovered some certain things about the human being, namely that man is made up of three different parts of his being. One being the perfect man, which is that of the intellect. One which is part of the mind of man, which reacts to conditions and to environment, and one that directs the body in its physical response to these things. The difference here between Christian Science and Scientology is that Scientology doesn't deny the reality of the existence of the physical realm. Remember that Christian Science says that the body is just an illusion. Scientology acknowledges that there is a body that does react to its environment, and that there is a physical being, and they are in fact so positive about that physical being and about the intellect of mankind that they will say that mankind's potential is limitless. It's right from their website. Mankind's potential is limitless. The only thing that holds us back right now is that we just have not achieved our potential mentally, and we have not achieved the a place of evolutionary process in our minds to where we can control how we react to our environment and therefore direct our body. So when a problem is had in our experience, the reactive mind, they say, interferes with the perfect mind, and we have trouble, and that trouble is unconsciously recorded onto our being, and the reactive mind remembers those bad things and unconsciously conditions a response. However, when men will reach a point of progress where we are able to control those responses, the evolutionary process will have reached its greatest point, where we will become godlike men. A person they call the Homo novus, and again they use the terminology a godlike man, resulting in improved eyesight, a better IQ, cure of the common cold, and deliverance from all your marriage problems.
So I think you can't reach this when you're unmarried.
Well, no. I believe you can. That's just I think they're listing some of the troubles that we face and the troubles that their so-called religion claims to provide answer for. So how do you get rid of these bad memories, these bad thoughts? And they have this very specialized terminology for all of this. Well, you go to what they call an auditor and a counselor. And you hold these two electric probes, basically. Martin calls them tin cans, wired up to a meter, and they call it the e-meter. And he asks you questions, and the e-meter tracks your response to those things and can identify bad memories. And I'm not exactly sure if it's than counsel, or if they press the erase button or go reverse and through this e-meter remove from you those bad subconscious responses. And the goal is for a person to be what they call cleared of all of those bad memories, and the within that therapy then is the evolutionary process.
I think it takes about 440 volts.
It's
really bad.
How do you tell when the e-meter has been effective?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. They, the claim is, or the goal is, to have someone who they call as being cleared, someone who is completely free from all of this, and they make claims to have accomplished this with certain individuals, but have been produce those individuals. They're it's kind of an age-old story on that process.
There's really no way you can walk out of there and say, it works.
I don't know. This they're part of.
I guess I'm wondering what standard do they have for when it is a functional meter and non-functional.
Well, I'll let you go to the Scientology website, or you can Google e-meter, and you can see a picture of what the dials look like. And I'm not exactly sure how to read them. Yeah, it has the probes and everything. You can Google e-meter, and you can see it. So,
do these people congregate, or is it just a sort of an informal network?
My understanding is that it's more of an informal network. I don't think there's much of a congregation. And I do want to move on to how to minister to them, because I think it's an appropriate to let you know what they're teaching and what they're holding up, and like I've done before, to ask a question. So what's appealing about this? I have trouble describing some of these things just because they end up sounding just hokey, and in a sense I want you to be confronted with it in this light, to have it kind of baldly set out in front of you, because there's people are following this, and they're following it for reasons. Here's what they teach about truth, and it's part of what I believe is appealing to individuals. They teach that truth is subjective and existential. Truth is subjective and existential. And so the greatest mantra, the greatest phrase for them is to be true to yourself. And it doesn't matter exactly what you believe, just so you're consistent about that, so that you're true about that. And that consistency and honesty and this existential being is the good life. And there is an appeal to that in our society. And just to reflect on that a little bit, maybe you've had experience yourself with individuals that were experientially seeking a subjective truth, and as you've had dialogue with individuals like that, what have you found to be appealing to them? Why are they looking for something like that? Liz?
Excuse not to believe. So that works for you, but my truth works for me.
Yeah, that idea of the individual, me, myself, and I always being right is very appealing. We exalt ourselves at the end. They probably wouldn't put it that way, or even knowingly be able to critique themselves that way, but it is appealing. Jeff?
Well, it's a way of explaining guilt that doesn't cause you to have to change your behavior.
Yeah. What better way to get rid of guilty feelings than just to have it erased from your memory. I'm going to come back to that in a minute.
One attraction that I could see is similar to a latest new amazing diet. It's something that seems to be scientific or just to be mystical knowledge or even this special kind.
Yeah. And they do have
something that not everybody is in on.
I'll come back to that as well. You're each identifying some really important things here. And let me start with guilt. And this is going to be a very appropriate place for you to think about ministering to those in generally in any cult and in Scientology especially. The idea of being cleansed from guilt is a highly theological subject. It is a highly Christian subject. What does Romans 1 say about our guilt? It says that we know God, we know even His invisible attributes, but in our rebellion we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And because of that suppression, God says that He gives over mankind into these, into false religions, into false desires, and it's part of that, part of God's judgment. Guilt is the place where Christ comes and ministers forgiveness. God is the one who covers over our shame, covers over our real guilt, our sin. And in dealing with someone who is burdened with guilt, it is one thing to tranquilize them, to make them feel good about themselves, and to ignore their guilt. And it's another thing to give them solution, a real solution to guilt through repentance and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And it's on that point especially that you'll find opportunity to minister. It will be hard because that's exactly what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid the painful and shameful aspects of our human condition. And they don't want to dwell on that. They will plug their ears to the idea of forgiveness and repentance. But it's because of Christ and because of His death and resurrection, that is especially important. Secondly, the mystery aspect. And Logan set his finger on this with some of the miracle diets and some of the hidden knowledge that is claimed to be held by a cultish religion. Scientology is one of those, and they even have diet included in here. But this mystery religion is dealt with over and over again as well in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2 talks about not being held captive by any vain philosophies or any mystery religions, and Paul points attention to the one divine mystery, and that is that God has proclaimed that there's salvation only in Jesus Christ, and that's been revealed in His coming and in His person. So dealing with the shrouds of mystery is something that's titillating, and people are I think captivated by it, by a mystery religion. And the third thing that I'll underline is that which Liz put her finger on, and that is false religions and things like this do ultimately come back to an idolatry. I myself believe this. So they say that each person must seek out and find what is truth for them, what is God, and they have a belief very similar to a Hindu teaching of a supreme being, and that man is part of God and can attain a status, a godlike status. What is, at this point, the exclusive claims of Christ are especially appropriate to bring in, and that there is, in John 14, as Jesus says, that there is only one way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4:12, that there is one name given among given under heaven among men, whereby you must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. And by the way, the teaching of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected is something that is especially appropriate with Scientology. Part of their worldview is that death is part of an evolutionary process, but it's an evolutionary process that includes a reincarnation. They do talk about the rebirth, but it's the rebirth of being reincarnated. And Jesus' resurrection and his power over the grave because of his redemption is especially appropriate for you to bring up. Much like Paul on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, where he proclaimed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified, that he was resurrected, this is especially appropriate in Scientology. And Walter Martin says that the resurrection of Jesus is proof that his grace will save us who place our trust in him for salvation. Every Christian has what every Scientologist is looking for, and that is salvation. I'll just close with that note, that you have what the Scientologist is looking for. You have the gift of salvation and the freedom from guilt, the treasure of everlasting life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It's very popular today. Kind of an upscale type of religion. If you run into individuals like this, remember that you have what they want, and tell them about Jesus. Like last week, I've run a little long, so if you have questions, I'll invite you to come up to me afterwards and ask those. Let's bow in prayer, please.